This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of congenital radial ulnar synostosis from the hand section on orthobullets.com. Congenital radial ulnar synostosis is defined as a bony bridge between the proximal radius and ulna. With respect to etiology, the forearm begins as a single cartilaginous anlage and divides from distal to proximal into the radius and ulna in the seventh week in utero. Failure of differentiation results in synostosis in the proximal aspect of the forearm. So again, with respect to the etiology of congenital radial ulnar synostosis, the forearm begins as a single cartilaginous anlage and divides from distal to proximal into the radius and ulna in the seventh week in utero. Failure of differentiation results in synostosis in the proximal aspect of the forearm. As far as the epidemiology of congenital radial ulnar synostosis, males are more commonly affected than females in a 3-to-2 ratio. 60% of cases are bilateral, 30% are associated with other syndromes, and 20% have a positive family history. As far as the genetics of congenital radial ulnar synostosis, there are familial cases with autosomal dominant inheritance. Congenital radial ulnar synostosis can also be associated with chromosomal abnormalities, particularly duplication of the sex chromosomes. Associated syndromes with congenital radial ulnar synostosis are seen in 30% of cases. These include things like Apert syndrome or acrocephalosyndactyly, Carpenter syndrome or acropolysyndactyly, arthrogryposis, mandibulofacial dysostosis, and Klinefelter syndrome or XXY, and other sex chromosome abnormalities. As far as the presentation of congenital radial ulnar synostosis, as far as symptoms, this condition is usually painless. Patients are most commonly asymptomatic, however, it is noticed by parents and teachers. Patients may have difficulty with specific tasks, for example, keyboard and tabletop activities, secondary to deficient pronation, as well as eating, washing the face, and catching a ball, secondary to deficient supination. With respect to physical exam, keep in mind that the average age of diagnosis is 6 years of age, and congenital radial ulnar synostosis can go unnoticed until early adolescence, especially in unilateral cases. Physical exam may also reveal that elbow flexion is usually preserved. There's fixed forearm pronation, where the average position is 30 degrees of pronation. And as far as compensatory motion, shoulder abduction compensates for loss of active pronation. Shoulder adduction compensates for loss of active supination. And there may be wrist hypermobility. As far as imaging, recommended views on radiographs include an AP and a lateral of the forearm and elbow. As far as findings, you can see proximal synostosis, the radius is wide and bowed, the ulna is narrow and straight, and the radial head may be dislocated and or malformed. As far as the classification of congenital radial ulnar synostosis, the one to know is the Cleary classification, which is based on the appearance of the synostosis and radial head reduction. So the Cleary classification of congenital proximal radial ulnar synostosis is divided into four types. Type 1 has no osseous synostosis and the radial head is reduced. Type 2 does have osseous synostosis and the radial head is also reduced. In type 3, there will be long osseous synostosis and the radial head is hypoplastic and posteriorly dislocated. Finally, type 4 will have short osseous synostosis and the radial head will be mushroom-shaped and anteriorly dislocated. As far as the treatment of congenital radial ulnar synostosis, this can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes observation, which is usually the preferred treatment, particularly when the patient is asymptomatic and the condition is unilateral. As far as operative options, absolute indications include a deformity that is limiting the ability of the patient to participate in specific activities, such as sports, hygiene, and/or eating. Relative indications include a severe pronation deformity of greater than 60 degrees, as well as bilateral deformities. General options include mobilization of the synostosis to restore active forearm rotation, as well as rotational osteotomy to improve static forearm and hand position. Some specific operative options include synostosis excision with soft tissue interposition and a forearm derotational osteotomy. The goal of a synostosis excision with soft tissue interposition is to restore active forearm rotation. The technique of a synostosis excision with soft tissue interposition will involve excising the synostosis and interposing a vascularized fasciofat graft. Keep in mind that vascularized fat is better than a free fat graft. and an interposed Anconius muscle does not prevent reossification. Excision alone without graft interposition results in nearly 100% recurrence of the synostosis. As far as outcomes, a gain in active forearm motion is usually slight after a synostosis excision with soft tissue interposition, and there is unsatisfactory results in most studies. The goal of a forearm derotational osteotomy is to place the forearm in a more functional resting position. As far as the technique, you should perform this between 3 to 6 years of age, with an average age of approximately 5 years. As far as the osteotomy location, this can be done at the radius and ulna proximal diaphysis at the synostosis, or the radius and ulna diaphysis distal to the synostosis at different levels. With respect to the radius and ulna proximal diaphysis at the synostosis, rotation takes place over a narrow space, and there are risks of soft tissue tightness, loss of correction, and neurovascular compromise. With respect to the radius and ulna diaphysis distal to the synostosis at different levels, osteotomies at different levels distribute the rotational correction. There is less soft tissue tightness and risk of neurovascular complications. Finally, one more osteotomy location can be the radius distal diaphysis alone. As far as timing of the correction, you can do an immediate correction at the time of osteotomy, you can do a delayed correction 10 days following the osteotomy, or a gradual correction with a circular external fixator frame, otherwise known as an Elizaroff. This has the lowest rate of neurovascular complications, such as compartment syndrome and nerve palsies. As far as positioning, in unilateral cases, you will fix the forearm in 0 to 30 degrees of pronation. Again, in unilateral cases, you will fix the forearm in 0 to 30 degrees of pronation. In bilateral cases, you will fix the dominant forearm in 0 to 15 degrees of pronation and the non-dominant forearm in neutral. Again, in bilateral cases, you will fix the dominant forearm in 0 to 15 degrees of pronation and the non-dominant forearm in neutral. Older studies state the non-dominant forearm should be placed in 10 to 15 degrees of supination. However, this was at a time when keyboards and mobile devices were not as ubiquitous and is no longer recommended. As far as stabilization in a forearm derotational osteotomy, this can be done with casting alone and no fixation, circular external fixator frame or an Elizaroff, or with percutaneous pins. As far as outcomes, most techniques result in improved forearm position and patient function with a low rate of deformity recurrence. As far as complications to mention, the ones to know include recurrence of the synostosis, recurrence of malrotation, compartment syndrome, and neurologic deficit. As far as recurrence of synostosis, there is nearly 100% recurrence of synostosis with excision alone or with interposition of the Anconius muscle. Interposition of a vascularized fascio fat graft has a 0% recurrence. As far as recurrence of malrotation, casting after a derotational osteotomy is associated with 15 to 20 degrees loss of correction. Compartment syndrome can be seen in up to 36% of cases. This is associated with large rotational corrections greater than 60 degrees. Therefore, close observation postoperatively is recommended, and some authors even advocate for prophylactic forearm fasciotomies in acute and/or large deformity corrections. Finally, with respect to neurologic deficits, the ones to know include a PIN palsy, particularly with a proximal synostosis osteotomy. Other neurologic deficits to be aware of include an AIN palsy and a radial nerve palsy. Keep in mind that there is a higher risk of neurologic deficit with acute/large deformity correction. However, most resolve within 3 months. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, a healthy 12-year-old girl presents with right elbow pain after a fall off her bicycle 3 days ago. She has full painless flexion and extension of the elbow with 30 degrees of fixed forearm pronation. AP and lateral radiographs of the right elbow demonstrate a proximal radial ulnar synostosis. Which of the following statements is true regarding this patient's condition? And the choices are 1, caused by trauma, 2, caused by failure of formation, 3, caused by failure of segmentation, 4, associated with a transverse deficiency of the forearm, and 5, always require surgical intervention with osteotomy and fusion. The correct answer to this question is 3, caused by failure of segmentation. So the patient has a congenital proximal radial ulnar synostosis, which is caused by a failure of segmentation. To quickly review, the proximal ends of the radius and ulna are temporarily united during elbow formation and share a common perichondrium. Congenital radial ulnar synostosis is a primary developmental anomaly of radial ulnar differentiation and segmentation in the seventh week of gestation. Familial cases of proximal radial ulnar synostosis tend to follow autosomal dominant inheritance patterns and is bilateral in approximately 60% of cases. Radial ulnar synostosis has also been found to be associated with chromosomal abnormalities, most commonly sex chromosome duplications. The majority of patients can be treated non-operatively. Patients with bilateral radial ulnar synostosis and those with a pronation deformity of greater than 60 degrees may be candidates for osteotomy and fusion. Moving on to the next question. A 14-month-old child is brought to your office because the mother has noticed reduced motion in the left upper extremity. The child appears at ease, playing quietly by herself. She abducts her shoulder to pick up building blocks on the ground. Examination reveals normal elbow flexion and extension, but diminished supination compared with the contralateral side. Radiographs show a congenital proximal radial ulnar synostosis of the left upper extremity. What is the next best step? And the choices are 1. CT, 2. MRI, 3. Arthrocentesis, 4. Reduction, and 5. Observation. The correct answer to this question is 5. Observation. So this child has congenital proximal radial ulnar synostosis. There are no apparent fractures. Observation is all that is necessary. Congenital proximal radial ulnar synostosis is a rare condition arising as a failure of longitudinal segmentation. The cartilaginous anlage between the radius and ulna during the seventh week in utero leaves a persistent bridge of tissue. The average age of diagnosis is 6 years, and there is a positive family history in 20% of cases. The average position of the forearm is 30 degrees of pronation. Surgery is rarely indicated. Surgical recommendations include positioning the dominant forearm in 10 to 20 degrees of pronation and the non-dominant forearm in neutral rotation, that is in bilateral cases, or 30 degrees of pronation in unilateral cases. Cleary and Omer reviewed the natural history of congenital proximal radial ulnar synostosis in 23 patients. 10 were unilateral and 13 bilateral. All forearms had fixed pronation, but the position did not affect functional limitations or employment. They found 4 radiographic patterns. 1, no bony synostosis, and the radial head was reduced. 2, bony synostosis, and the radial head also reduced. 3, long bony synostosis with the radial head posteriorly dislocated. And 4, radial head anteriorly dislocated. Kozin reviewed congenital elbow abnormalities. He states that congenital proximal radial ulnar synostosis is bilateral in 50% of cases. The shoulder slash wrist is able to compensate. The shoulder abducts to compensate for deficient pronation and adducts to compensate for deficient supination. Children may develop excessive wrist motion. Difficulties from deficient pronation involve keyboard slash tabletop activities. Difficulties from deficient supination include eating, washing the face, catching a ball, and using a soap dispenser. Moving on to the next question. Radiographs of a 15-year-old boy with a congenital condition of the left elbow demonstrates a proximal radial ulnar synostosis. His forearm is fixed in 75 degrees of pronation. If operative treatment is undertaken with the goal of restoring motion, what steps should be included in the procedure to prevent recurrence of the condition? And the choices are 1. Soft tissue reconstruction, 2. Interposition of material between the radius and ulna, 3. Derotational osteotomy to fix the forearm in neutral position, 4. Postoperative radiation, and 5. Postoperative casting. The correct answer to this question is 2. Interposition of material between the radius and the ulna. So this patient has a congenital radial ulnar synostosis. Recurrence of synostosis is common without interposition of something between the radius and the ulna. To quickly review, radial ulnar synostosis is a rare congenital anomaly that may cause complete loss of forearm rotation with ankylosis in a position anywhere from neutral to hyperpronation. Physical exam is characteristic and X-ray confirms the diagnosis. Most cases are treated non-operatively. If excision of the synostosis is undertaken, something must be done to reduce the risk of recurrence, such as interposition of a tissue that does not form bone or scar, for example, free fat, pedicled fat, muscle, gel foam, and micropore. The other surgical option is derotational osteotomy, which does not restore motion, but may be used to fix the forearm in a more functional position. Moving on to the next question. The parents of a 2-year-old girl are concerned that their daughter has difficulty feeding herself from a bottle. They have noticed that she rotates her elbow in front of her body when trying to bring the bottle to her mouth. Physical exam demonstrates 10 degrees of elbow hyperextension and 160 degrees of flexion. The forearm does not actively or passively rotate. A radiograph demonstrates proximal radial ulnar synostosis. Which of the following would be an indication for a future surgical intervention? And the choices are 1, forearm fixed in 45 degrees of pronation, 2, forearm fixed in 30 degrees of supination, 3, patient is younger than 3 years of age, 4, an affected older sibling, and 5, bilateral involvement. The correct answer to this question is 5, bilateral involvement. So the radiograph described in the question stem demonstrates a proximal radial ulnar synostosis. This rare congenital deformity is most frequently a pronation deformity, but is not frequently a functionally limiting deformity. Observation is the treatment of choice in most cases. Surgical osteotomy and fusion is beneficial for bilateral involvement, with the objective of achieving one arm fixed in modest pronation and the other fixed in modest supination to facilitate competence in activities of daily living and hygiene. Surgical excision and reconstruction has not demonstrated successful outcomes. And moving on to the final question. A mother notices that her 6-year-old obese, uncoordinated child has some difficulty moving his right forearm as well as his left. Upon further discussion, she relays that the boy's development was somewhat delayed in terms of both motor and verbal milestones. Examination reveals that the right forearm is fixed in 80 degrees of pronation, although he has full ulnohumeral motion. Which of the following chromosome abnormalities has been associated with this condition? And the choices are 1, 45XO, 2, 47XXY, 3, trisomy 21, 4, trisomy 18, and 5, partial chromosome 15 deletion. The correct answer to this question is 2, 47XXY. So the boy in the question stem presents with congenital radial ulnar synostosis. Although this may be inherited in an autosomal dominant fashion in chromosomally normal individuals, congenital radial ulnar synostosis has also been linked to duplication of sex chromosomes, such as in Klinefelter syndrome or 47XXY. To quickly review, congenital radial ulnar synostosis is thought to result during the 7th week in utero from a failure of differentiation. The condition is more common in males in a 3-to-2 ratio, 60% are bilateral, and there is some genetic association. However, 1/3 of cases are associated with syndromes including Apert syndrome, arthrogryposis, and Klinefelter syndrome. The diagnosis is most often made at 6 years of age when the child demonstrates fixed pronation and compensates with shoulder abduction. Most often, especially in unilateral asymptomatic cases, non-operative management is indicated. Slight pronation is often tolerated well, as this is the position of typing on a keyboard. Synostosis excision and soft tissue interposition yields only mild improvements in motion. In bilateral cases, a forearm derotational osteotomy may be indicated. To quickly go over the incorrect answers, answer 1, 45XO is incorrect, as 45XO or Turner syndrome is associated with malignant hyperthermia, sexual infantilism, idiopathic scoliosis, a short 4th metacarpal, and a webbed neck. Answer 3, trisomy 21 is incorrect, as trisomy 21 or Down syndrome is associated with advanced maternal age, short stature, C1, C2 instability, hip instability, patellofemoral instability, and scoliosis. Answer 4, trisomy 18 is incorrect, as trisomy 18 or Edwards syndrome is associated with cardiac defects and generally only 5% survive past 1 year. And finally, answer 5, partial chromosome 15 deletion is incorrect, as a partial chromosome 15 deletion is associated with Prader-Willi syndrome. This leads to an obese hypotonia with an insatiable appetite, growth retardation, hip dysplasia, and juvenile onset scoliosis. That's all for this review about congenital radial ulnar synostosis. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.